daf is daf chav ches. We got to the very last line of chav zayin. Amin beis. The Gemara says, Shalu Talmidav es Rebbe Preda. They asked Rebbe Preda, this Talmidim asked him, what did he do to deserve such a long life? So Amar Lehem, he says to them, Miyomailo kidamni adam lebeis medrash. No one ever beat me to the beis medrash. He was always the first one in the beis medrash. Velo, furthermore, he goes on to now the top of Chav Ches, lo, berachti lefnei kohen. Never did I say a bracha before a kohen. Rashi refers to the Gemara in Gittin, that lo berachti in the top of Chav Ches, besuda lefnei kohen, damar mar vikidashto lechol davar shibukadusho leftoach rishon levarach rishon, that he should always speak first, he should always say a bracha first. So never did I ever say bracha before a kohen. I never violated that aveira, or that Indian, that concept. Never did I eat from an animal that chumos were not separated. We'll have to explain what that means in just a second. A person may not eat from an animal if before it's been separated. So we know there is no chuma when it comes to animals. Chuma was when it comes to dagan tiyoshchav yitzarcha, which refers to the five grains, grapes, and olives. And according to some Rishonim, other peros as well would be chayim midiraisa. But behema is not subject to chuma. So Rashi says in the top, it's a pasuk in the Torah, matnoseh hazorov l'alchayim v'akeva. These are three parts of the animal. There's a pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, I think that's where it's found, and there's a perek in Chulin that talks about this, the different parts of the animal, the arm, the cheeks, and the stomach, that you give to the kohen, but there is no kedusha to them, but they are matnos kahuna. They're matnos kahuna without kedusha. So the halacha is that a person should not eat an animal before these parts of the animal were separated. So that's another thing he had kept that he gave him long life. And the Gemara says weiter that Amar Rabbi Yitzchak kol ha'ochel mi behema shlo hurmu matnoseh ki'ilu ochel tfalim. A person who does eat such an animal without before separating the matanos, if he's eating tevel. Now tevel is a concept when it comes to chumas and maisos. If a person eats before you've separated chumas and maisos, that's called tevel. So it's also similar to tevel. If you ate a behema before separating the matanos, it's similar to tevel. So the Gemara, what?
It's only an absurd.
So then Gemara says, "Let's hilchas akivase." We don't paskin this way, meaning one is allowed to eat the animal before separating the matanos. But so that was the big Indian. So even though we don't paskin this way, Rabbi Preda was still machmir on this shita. Furthermore, v'lo berachti lifnei kohen. So he never said a bracha before a kohen. The meimer de mamliusahi, is that considered? Is that a big Indian? It should be the opposite. A Talmud Chacham like Rebbe Preda should go before every Kohen. Because don't we have a halacha, v'hamar Amar Rebbe Yochanan, kol Talmud Chacham shemivarech lefnei lefanav, any Talmud Chacham, if a person says a bracha before the Talmud Chacham, afilu Kohen Gadol Am Ha'aretz. Now, a Kohen Gadol, unfortunately, during Bayis Sheni, more often than not, was a Am Ha'aretz. So that existed. So if a Kohen Gadol Am Ha'aretz, even though he's the Kohen Gadol, said a bracha prior to Talmud Chacham, also Talmud Chacham Chayiv Misa, that Talmud Chacham who allowed that to happen is Chayiv Misa. So you have to daven, you have to say a bracha before a Kohen. How come he never let himself say a bracha before a Kohen? He's now Chayiv Misa. Shenemar, the Pasuk says that Kol Masni Avo Maves Altikim Misane Ela Masniye. So what does that mean? Rashi says three lines down from the top, Masniye is Shigormim Livnei Adam Lisnoso. You cause people to hate him. You see a Talmud Chacham who gives in to a regular Am Aret who thinks he's Chashiv. Omer Ein Nachas Ruach B'Torah. It's not nice. It's not good to be a Talmud Chacham. You always get to the. You always get trampled on. Everyone takes advantage of you. If you're a Talmud Chacham, you have to show that it comes with the territory. You get respect. It's a tough balance of being humble and modest, but also demanding a certain amount of respect. So you're not allowed to let, a Talmud Chacham may not let a Am Haaretz say a bracha before him. So how come that was a praise? That was a malusa. He was going against this halacha. So the Gemara says, no, what he's talking about, ki kamar ihu bishavyan. If he, and there's another kohen who is a Talmud Chacham, he would never go before that kohen Talmud Chacham. He would let the kohen go first because of the kidashto. But had the kohen been less learned than he was, he certainly would have said a bracha prior to that kohen. Mar now says, Shalu Talmid of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana b'maharach t'yamim. What did you do to deserve a long life? Amar Lehem, he says, Miyamai lo niskabati b'kalan chaverai. Never did I get honor for out of the, you know, the expense of my friend. Lo alsa al mitasi klalas chaveri. Never did I go to go on my bed, go to sleep with a curse for my friend. And we'll see what these means in a second. And then the third thing, he said, v'vatrin b'mamoni hayisi. And I was always mevater mamon. So what are these three in Yanim? Lo nischabadati mekalon chavera. Never did I get honor from my friend's disgrace. So that means, ki hod Rav Huna dari mara akasve. One time Rav Huna, who was a well-known Talmid Chacham, was carrying some type of shovel. And also Rav Chana bar Chanilai came along Rav Chana, the kadari minayin, and took the shovel and says, Rav Huna, there's no reason you should be schlepping this. Let me take the shovel. So Amar Lai, he says, iragilas de daris mascha dari. If you normally carry around the shovel, so then it's all yours, take it. But if not, the love, you don't normally carry the shovel. For me to get honored by your disgrace, if you normally don't carry a shovel, I'm not going to get honored when it's a disgrace for you. Lo nichli, this is not good for me. And what does it mean when he says, also amitasi klalas chaverai? Never did I go to sleep with a curse of my friend. So he says, ki hod de marzutra, whenever marzutra, ki hava salak lepuria, when you go up to his bed, Amar, he said, shari lei lechol man ditzaron. Anybody calls me tzaros, pain, I'm a mevater, I'm a mochel, what they did to me. And then the third thing he said he accredited to his long life is vatran bimamoni haisi. So I was always mevater my mamon, damar mar iov vatran bimamone. Remember the Gemara's in Baba Basra in the first parak? Hava, Eov was always mevater and mamon, shaya meniach pruta lechenvani bimamone. He wasn't always so machbit to take the exact change back. He'd okay leaving some extra change with the chenvani. It was a pruta, a couple of prutas, a few pennies. He didn't really care. So that was the same way Rabbi Nechunya acted as well. He was mevater on his money, referring to small change. Then another story, Shaul Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva also wanted to ask the Shaila, his Rebbe. He Shaul as Rabbi Nechunya HaGadol. He asked him the big question, B'me Arachti Yamin, what did you do to deserve a long life? So also, Gavze, the Avadim, the servants, the attendants of Rabbi Nechunya came along, the Kamachi Lei. They started to hit Rabbi Kiva. So Salak, he ran up, Yasa Resha Dedikli, he sat on top of a tree, he ran away, he was scared, they're beating him. So Amar Lei, Rebbe, so he says to Rebbe, calls from the top of the tree, calls down to Rebbe Nechunya HaGadol, Im Nemar Keves, Salama Nemar Echad. If it says Keves, which implies one sheep, so why did it say Keves Echad? Keves is in the singular, of course that means one. So why does it say Keves Echad? The Echad is superfluous. So Amar Lehu, so Rebbe Nechunya tells his Talmidim, Tzurba Mirabananhu, this guy, is apparently they didn't know Rebbe Kiva just yet who he was. This guy is a Talmud Chacham, Shavku, leave him alone. He's asking a good Kasha. So he says, I'll bring him down, and Amalei, I'll tell you the answer. The answer is, Echad miyuchad shebedro. Echad doesn't mean one, because that we could understand from the word keves. Echad means miyuchad, the special, the best of the sheep should be used for the carbon tamen. So now he wants to answer the first question. He says, what did you ask me what I do to b'ma'arach to yamim? So he answers as follows, that Amalei, miyamai all my days, lo kibalti matanos, never did I accept any gifts. I never did I stand in my midah if someone did something bad to me. Never did I respond back. And vatram b'mamoni, and I was also, Haisi, I also was always mevater my mamon. I didn't care about a few extra dollars here or there. So lo kibalti matanos, never did I accept a gift from anyone. Ki hod the Rabbi Elazar kiava meshadre le matanos, mi bei nisia. When Rabbi Elazar was sent gifts from the house of the Nasi, lo hava shaka, he wouldn't accept the gifts. And Kiyavim is Amni Le, when they would invite him to have a suda there, lo hava azu, he wouldn't go to the base Nasi either. So Amr Lahu, he says to them, lo nicha lechu de'achia, I don't want what you're giving to me, because dechsev sone matanos yichia. Rather, he said, lo nicha lechu de'achia, do you not want me to live? Dechsev sone matanos yichia. A person who hates gifts will live a long life, and those who accept gifts and is always matanos, lo yichia. So why do you keep sending me gifts and keep inviting me over for free meals? That's not what I want. So that's why he's makbid on never accepting matanos. Then Rabbi Zera, when he was sent gifts from the house of the Nasi, lohava shak, he wouldn't accept them. However, when they invite him over, he would go to the meal. So why wasn't he makbid on accepting free gifts? Amar, he says, Isyakure de misyakir bi, they are getting honored by my presence. I'm not getting any honor by eating their meal. It's a waste of time. Going to every single wedding for 6 hours and all these different simchas is not a fun thing for me to do that. So, but you go there because it honors the Baal Simcha. So Rebbe Zera says, it's not an honor for me. I'm not gaining anything by going to all these meals, but it's an honor for them, and therefore it's not considered matanos. So then he says, "Velo amati al midosai." Never did I stand my ground on a mid if someone did something bad to me. Damar Rava kol amavir al midosav maavirin mimenu kol pshav. A person who is he's mochel, he's mevatis. Someone does something bad to me, doesn't take revenge. So that's the way. Kadosh Baruch Hu also midah keneged midah. If we do something wrong, but we show that we have self control about acting against others, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will have self control, if you will, and not punish us. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, this is also a gemara that appears in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. No se avon vover apesha, me no se avon. Who will HaKadosh Baruch Hu lift the avon? He's going to take it away. That no se avon either means he's going to remove the avon, or it's viewed as a scale. The gemara talks about there in Rosh Hashanah, and maybe also increases. I don't remember. There's another place that when you have a scale, so the avon is way down. But he's no se avon. He makes the avon lighter so that it doesn't tip anymore. So lemi no se avon. To whom does HaKadosh Baruch Hu lift the avon? Misha over al pesha, person who's over, who's willing to be mevater and be mocha if someone does something wrong to him, he's the one who's zocha to the nose avon.
When you say before you had Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, is he just saying that it's the same Nechunya over here, Nechunya Gadol?
I have no idea if it's the same one. I'm not sure. That's the case. It's a good question then. Why he's answering something different? I don't know. They're back to back here. They do have one in the common, is that the Vachim Bimamoni Hayisi, but the other ones were not. Could be that they were asked at different stages of his life, and then he got to 60, and then the 70, he got to another level.
I don't know. Yeah? He is the Rav Nechunya you mentioned earlier and elsewhere in Talmud.
So the question becomes then, why does he give different answers? Good question. I don't know.
I go to sudas because they're only for their honor.
Yes. So what? But the Gemara in Brachos, what does that have to do with making a suda when he got better? Have to do with attending the suda of the nasi?
Because he said that only the nasi gets. I only go to sudas of the nasi because he gets benefit. I don't get any benefit.
Right. But the Gemara in Brachos talking about the suda that he went to. Who was hosting that suda?
But it was an honor that he got better from the
sitting. Right.
And Al-Tanai, if he gets better, then.
Yeah, I will have to look at the Gemara. I don't remember exactly that Gemara. We'll have to look at it later, Blinether. Okay, so the Gemara then says, Shal Rebbe es Rebbe Yeshua ben Karcha. Rebbe asked Rebbe Yeshua ben Karcha, what did you do to deserve a long life? Will you tell me my death is coming soon? My life isn't over yet. What are you asking me this question for? So he says, Rebbe, Torahi, v'lomor ani tzarech, I want to learn. I want to know. You got to this point. I'm not saying, chas v'shalom, you should die. I just want to know, what did you do to earn such a long life thus far? So he says, fine, I'll tell you. Miyomai, all my days, lo niskalti b'demusa adam rasha. Never did I look at the face, the image of an evil person. Damar Rabbi Yochanan also le'odam listakel b'tzelm demus adam rasha. You cannot look at the face of an evil person. Shinemar, the pasuk says, lule pnei yoshafat melech yuda ani nosei ima b'dalech. If I look at you, had I looked at the face, I would not do that. In other words, you shouldn't look at the pnei of the Rasha. And Rashi says, is describing, if you look at the context for the whole story there, but Elisha is referring to talking about Yehoram. Yehoram was a Rasha, and he refused to look at the face of Yehoram. So then the Gemara says, Vim Erechav, if I see your face. So then Rabbi Eliezer Amar, if a person does look at the face of a Rasha, Einav Kehos, his eyesight begins to go dim. Shenemar, as it says, Vayiki Zaken Yitzchak Vatechena Einav Meros, that when Yitzchak began to get old, his eyesight began to wear off. Mishum distakel be'esav Rasha, because he looked at his dear brother Esav, rather his son Esav, and he lost his eyesight because of that. So we see looking at the demus adam Rasha, it caused the eyes to go. V'ha garmile, is that what caused him to lose eyesight? We have another medjish. V'hamar Rabbi Yitzchak, li'olam alti kalalas hedyot kalabei necha. Never should a curse from a regular person be so light in our eyes. Sharei Avimelech kalal es Sarah, he cursed Sarah that she should have a cover on her face. V'nishkayim bizara, and that was fulfilled with her child, with Yitzchak. Shenemar, hinei hu lecha hilach kesus einayim. This is for you, a cover for your eyes. Al tikri kesus ela ksias einayim. Not a cover, but really, it should really take away, remove your vision. So we see that it was the klala of Avimelech that caused him to go blind. And it wasn't because he looked at Esav. Which one was it? Gemara says, hava ha garmile. They both caused it. Both of them caused it. Both that they looked at his son Esav and that the klala from Avimelech. There is a third reason the Gemara says elsewhere. What's the third reason why?
The tears,
right? The tears of the malachim is underneath. The Akedah Yitzchak, the malachim are crying. And the dima or dimalus of the malach dripped into his eyes, and it's really all three of them that contributed to having his eyesight go. So anyway, so this is again going on to that din that he would not look at the face. This is Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. I would not look at the tselem dumus adam rasha. Rava Amar Rava has another source of not looking at a person's adam rasha's face. Mehacha seis panai rasha. If you lift your face to a rasha, if you see his face, lo tov. That's not a good thing. Now, Bashas Ptiraso, as Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha was dying, Amar lo, so Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that is, says to his Rabbi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Rabbi, Barcheni, give me a bracha. So Amar le, Yehi Ratzon Shetagil Lechatzi Yomai. So he says that you should live half my life. He says, what, half your life? B'lechul lo? I'm not deserving your whole life? What's with that? So Amar lo, Habam Acharecha Behema Yiru. Do you want your children to just be shepherds your whole life? Meaning Rabbi Huda Nasi was a Nasi. So if you stay a Nasi, you're going to be the Queen Elizabeth till the age of 95. That means your children will always be princes and princesses. They'll never become king and queens. So if you live so long, your children will just be shepherds doing nothing all day long. Roi Behema. So therefore, I'm giving you a bracha that you should live half a life of mine. So your children could have that enjoyment of being royal. Fine. So we have a few places in Shas where brachas are given, and they come across initially as curses, but it turns out to be brachas. I forget exactly, I think it's the Gemara in Tainus talks about a situation where there was two Talmidei Chachamim that came to the city, and a father says to his son, go get a bracha from these two individuals before they leave. And they gave some crazy bracha that your house should be flipped over upside down, and there should be chaos in the house. And he goes back to his father and he reports, they cursed me, they didn't give me a bracha. He says, no, you misunderstood it. Everything they said was a bracha. So I don't remember each line, but one idea of the house being flipped upside down meant you should have a ton of children. It should be, filled with people, kids, and running around the place, which is a bracha. Sometimes it seems chaotic, but that's part of a bracha. So this here as well, even though on the surface it seems like a klala, but really embedded within this klala was meant to be a bracha, that children should enjoy the nesias as well. But then the Gemara says, Avua bar ihi, uminyamin bar ihi, seem to be brothers, I presume. Chadamar one says, Tesi li de lostaka bagoy. I'm going to get paid, I'm going to get rewarded because I never looked at a guy or a kusi. And Chadamar, the other one says, Tesi li de lo avdi shutvis bahade kusi. Never did I engage in a partnership with a kusi. And then finally, the last one, Shalu Tamidav es Rabbi Zeira, Bema Arachti Yomim. They asked Rabbi Zeira, what did you do to deserve a long life? Amar Lehem, he says, Miyom I look, Padri Besoch Besi. Never did I get upset in the house of my own house. Navlot Saditi Bimpnei Misha Galdamimani. Never did I walk on the side or in front of someone greater than me. The Gemara and Yuma talks about the way you're supposed to walk down the street with a Rav or a Talmud Chacham. You don't walk in front of them, you don't walk next to them, you walk on the side but slightly behind them. So he never walked in an inappropriate way next to his Rebbe or someone who's greater than him. Flohi harti b'mavuos ha-tunafos. Never did I think of Torah when I was walking through dirty areas. That wasn't worthy of thinking Torah. Flohalachti dal amos below Torah, below tefillin. Never did I walk dal amos without thinking of Torah. Rashi says, gerasti b'shigur b'fi tamid. I was always reviewing the Mishnayos in my head. And I never walked around dal amos without wearing tefillin. And further, lo yashanti bebeis hamedrash. I never slept in the beis medrash. Lo shinas keva, lo shinas arai. Not a long sleep, not a small nap. And v'lo sasti betiklas chaveira. Never did I get happy, did I rejoice over a something embarrassing that happened to my friend. Lo karasi lechaveirai b'chanichasu amrilei b'chachinaso. Never did I call my friend by a nickname. The difference between these two words is Rashi says one's a nickname that you call a friend, it's a disgraceful name, and the other one is a disgraceful name that's really attached to his entire family, but either way they're disgraceful, and this is something he never engaged in. So these are all the Shalu Tamidav es b'maharach diyamim. So I thought it would be cute when my grandfather's 90th birthday, So I wanted to ask him, but my rachti yamim, right? I learned the Gemara Megillah. May as well ask what he deserved to have such a long life. So he told me two things. He says one is he took vitamins every single day, and the other thing was he always listened to his wife. So I don't take vitamins every day, and I try to listen to my wife, but can't guarantee that either. But those are the two answers he gave me. Fine. The Mishnah now says in the bottom of Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, the Mishnah of old Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda further says that Beis HaKnesses Shecharav, a Beis Knesset that gets destroyed, Ein Maspidin Besocho. You're not allowed to eulogize in such a place. Ve'ein Mafshilin Besocho Chavalim. Nor are you able to use it to unload packages. Ve'ein Porcin Latocha Mitsudos. Nor can you set up traps there. Ve'ein Chotchen Al Gaga Peros. You can't use the roof to lay fruit out in order to dry them out. Vein osin noso kapandra, you can't use it as a shortcut. Shenemar, he quotes the pasuk. This pasuk appears in the end of Vayikra. I think it's in Bichukosai. Vashimosi es mikdashechem, I destroyed your place of the base of Migda, of the Bate Gnesios and Bate Midrashos, which has a kedusha to them. Kedusha, and they still have kedusha. Af kashen shomim, even though they're destroyed and no longer used, they still have kedusha. And you have to treat them with the proper respect. If alu ba'asavim, the grass begins to grow, lo yilosh mipnei agmas nefesh, you shouldn't pull it out. Rather, you should let the grass grow so that when people come by, they get disturbed. Oh, wow, it's really haven't been used. It's been abandoned for so many years, and maybe they'll daven and they threw bakashas rachamim. That's going to bring back the use of the base knesses. Okay, so the Gemara now says, Tanur Rabbanan, Bate Knasios Eina Noagin Bahen Kalas Rosh. You shouldn't do anything, frivolous stuff in the shul, playing games. Ein Ochlin Bahen Vein Shosim Bahen. You can't eat in the shul, you can't drink in the shul. Just before you turn the page quickly, Tosas writes in the bottom here, Ein Ochlin Vein Shosim. That means, Vaha Damar Bereish Arvi Psachim, De Orchin Achlu Vishasu Vivek Nishta. Then we have guests. We have the whole halacha that you say Kiddush Friday night. Why do we say Kiddush Friday night and some shuls still do this? Because they used to have guests who would eat in the shul. But don't we have a halacha you don't eat in the shul here? So the answer is very simply that they were eating, wrote to Lomar, b'cheder asmuch, l'beis knesses. They'd be eating in a room downstairs, a room next door, but they wouldn't be eating in the actual shul. A person is not allowed to eat or drink in a shul. So then the Gemara says, going on to the top of Chaf Chesam and Beis, vein in ne'osin behem, a person cannot get dressed, put on jewelry, makeup, he can't use this as a dressing room. And vein metayalin behem, you can't use it just to walk around and get exercise and just to go for a little, what?
Jog around the bima.
You can't do any type of walking without any purpose. Vein nechnasin behem bechama b'bnei acham, if it's too hot out, you can come inside for some air conditioning. U'b'kshamim b'bnei akshamim, you can't come inside to take yourself out of the rain. You can't have a eulogy for an individual about Koran Behem, but you can read in them. You're allowed to read Torah in there. Vishonim Behem, you can learn Mishnahs in there. Umaspidim Behem Hesped Shalrabim. But if it's a death of a Rabbin, we'll see what that means in just a moment, that type of Hesped would be permitted. So what's a Hesped Shalrabim? Rashi says on the top here, Hesped Shalrabim is Shel Talmud Chacham Shemes, Shetzrichen Lesasef Ulaspidah. That when the Talmud Chacham dies, everyone, as many people as possible, should come gather together and show their proper respect. Simply because there's enough space for this, and you're allowed to use a shul for those purposes. Now it becomes a very sensitive and touchy subject. Who's considered a hesped shel gadol, shel rabim? How do you define that? So we have big places near here that are able to hold hespedim and levais and stuff. But sometimes it comes up where you need a bigger space, like let's say the Young Israel, a very large facility which is bigger than what's it called down there? The boulevard. So sometimes you're allowed to use a shul. So it depends, but it becomes very sensitive. People sometimes get insulted if it's not used. But the halacha is simply really just for space. That seems to be the issue based on what we're reading from the Gemara and Rashi. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Emasai b'yeshuvin. When is this all true? This is all true when the base Knesset is still being used. It's still active. Aval b'churbanan, we're going to explain, there's something a little off about this b'risa in just a second, we'll see. Aval b'churbanan, when they're destroyed, manichen oso v'olin ba asavim, you leave it alone and you let the grass grow. V'lo yitlosh mipnei agmas nefesh, and then you don't pull it out because agmas nefesh. You want people to be troubled by the fact that there's grass growing. So the Gemara says, wait a second, asavim man dacha shmayay. Whoever mentioned grass? Which of you who they're talking about grass? We're talking about learning and eating and hespedim in a shul. Where does grass come from? The Gemara says it's a chasur mechser. There's something missing in this brisa, and it should really read as follows. V'hachi katani. So the Tanakhama goes on to say, "Umechabdinosan, you're supposed to sweep it. Umarbitinosan, and you're supposed to mop it. Kadeshlo yalu behenasavim, in order that there shouldn't be any grass growing. You should avoid any grass from growing. Now you have to remember that their floors were dirt. It wasn't just stone or carpet. It was dirt. So grass could very easily grow. So by you pouring water, even though you would think water would help it grow, but you sweeping it and dealing with the dirt, that's going to prevent it's from growing grass. Now there's a big Indian, you see there's a big Indian to of take care of a shul. It's not a stam thing. I was once at a shul, I was in Rav Shur's shul many years ago, Erev Shabbos. I was there in Brooklyn for Shabbos, I don't remember why. I was learning the base medrash and I saw him, he was mopping the floor in a shul by himself. I never saw him before and I wasn't sure if it was him. I saw some guy mopping and he was very animated doing it. And I wasn't sure, maybe it was Rav Shur, maybe I wasn't, I don't know who it was, and turned out it was Rav Shur, he was mopping his own floor. So there's a big Indian of taking care of a base Knesset, it's not a stam thing. Fine. So either way, after talking about sweeping and mopping the dirt floor to prevent the grass from growing, so then comes along Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amasai, when is this shul? Be a shulvan, when the shul is being used, it's active. Aval b'churbanon, if it's destroyed, no longer active, manichanosan lalos, you let it be. You let it be, you don't deal with the dirt, and alu b'henasavim, you allow the grass to grow, lo yitlosh b'pnei agmas nefesh, and you should not pull out the grass, you shouldn't put out the weeds, because we want people to see that, and it's going to be painful for someone to see, and hopefully they'll daven, and the Beis Knesses, the activity, will be restored. So Amar Rabbi Asi, bate knesios shebebavel, al tenai heinasuyim. The shuls that were in Bavel were made on a Tanai. What's the Tanai? So Rashi explains here, Al Tanai, Al Menashe Yishtam Shubhen, on a Tanai that you could use them, use the shul whatever way you want to. V'yafal Pikein, Ein Nahogin Bokalas Rosh. Now, even though you could use it for other activities, there's a limit. You can't use it to play basketball in them. You have to use it you could use it for a kiddush, you could use it for eating and drinking. But once it's Kalas Rosh, however you define that, I would consider basketball, probably it would be considered Kalas Rosh, there's a limit of what you're allowed to be doing in there. But the Gemara gives another example, they don't use basketball as an example. My Neo Cheshbonos. Cheshbonos, doing calculations. That would be prohibited from the, gets referring to Cheshbonos, I assume not of a mitzvah. Cheshbonos shel mitzvah seemingly would be permitted. That's what the Gemara talks about in Ksubis, about on Shabbos you can't talk about Cheshbonos, but Cheshbonos shel mitzvah, we even mentioned that one of the Zmiros, that's permitted. So I assume the Cheshbonos shel mitzvah, you're having a board meeting about the finances of the shul and tzedakah, that would be permitted, but stam Cheshbonos, stam accounting would not be permitted. That's called Kalos Rosh. I said the base class, or the main sanctuary where the davening would take place. If you have another room, a classroom that's not meant for davening, there are social hall downstairs, this would not be subject to those halachas. So the Gemara then says, Amar Rav Asi, Beis HaKnesses, Shemechashvin Bo Cheshbonos, Malinin Bo Esames. So a place, a shul that does calculations, let's call it math, in the Beis HaKnesses, so they're going to be Malin Bo Esames. Malin Bo Esames means they're going to leave a dead body overnight unburied. Gemara says, Malinin Takadatach, you would think that they're going to leave over a dead body. What does that one to do the next? So Gemara says, no, lo sagi lav hachi, they can't, they have to do it, that's going to definitely happen? No. El lasof, shalinu bo meis mitzvah. The part of their spiraling downward is that eventually they're probably going to do another problem, and Rashi explains that shiamusu beir mesim shein lem kovrim. It's going to lead, since they're violating one aveira, it's going to lead to another aveira, whereby someone's going to die in the city, and they're not going to find anyone to bury it, and they're going to have to leave it overnight until they find a person to take care of the mace.
The footnote says there's so many people who are going to die in that city that they're going to need to wait for other people to come to help bury the dead.
Uh-huh, okay. Very good. So in DRS, so the kid, there's no library to do work. There's no place to do work in DRS. So a lot of the kids do homework in the base medrash. So there's one Rebbe there who kicks all the kids out of the base medrash for doing math and doing science and doing history, and the kids have no other place to go. So Mestama, it was done al Tanai. Every base medrash in Bavel, and certainly in Chutzlart, it was made al Tanai. The question becomes, what if there's no other place to use it? Is the homework they're doing considered a cheshbonos? So Anyways, that's what I've seen. Fine. Now, look at Tosis for a second. Tosis, the Ramaskal, Bate Knesios, on the top here. Go down three narrow lines in that Tosos where it says, Aval Lioso Sheb Eretz Yisrael Lo Mahanu Tanai. In the base, Knesses, a shul in Eretz Yisrael, a Tanai doesn't work. Sharei Kedushasan Liolam Kayemes. The Kedusha in a shul in Eretz Yisrael is forever, and a Tanai doesn't work. The only reason why it works in Bavel is because Bavel is only temporary. Because eventually we're all going to return back to Eretz Yisrael, and we'll no longer need the shuls in Bavel. But in Eretz Yisrael, of course, the Kedusha is the Olam, and a Tanai doesn't work. The Gemara now says the two dots, Vein Neusin Bahen. A person is not allowed to get dressed up in a shul. So Amar Rava Chachamim V'Tamideim Mutarim. However, a Talmid Chacham, his students are allowed to, Damar Rishu Ben Levi, it's probably Reish Lakish, my Bei Rabbanan, Beisa the Rabbanan. Which one does it say it is? It's Rabbi Shimon Levi. So my Bei Rabbanan, Beisa the Rabbanan. Why is it called a Bei Rabbanan? Is how the Gemara oftentimes refers to a Beis Medrash. Why is that called Bei Rabbanan? Because it's the Beis, it's the house of the rabbis. That's where they live. So they could eat, they could drink there, they could get dressed there. It's their home. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Vei Nichnasim Ben Bechama Pnei Achama B'Gesham Pnei Achama. If it's raining outside, you can't go inside the shul to stop to avoid the rain, and you can't go inside to avoid the heat. Kiha de Ravina Ravad de Brahmasna Havakaima, they're one standing outside. Vishala Shilta Mirava, and they had asked a question from Rava. So Asa Zilchav de Mitra. It started to rain. So I little bit Knisha, they went inside the shul. So Amri, and they said, Hi Dalina, and that which we're entering into the Beit Knisha, we're going to shul La Mishum Mitra, not because of the rain. El Mishum de Shmaitza Boy Tilusa Kioma Dastana. To Paskin Shilas, it has to be clear as the day. Clear as the sun, when the sun's out during the daytime. So once it's starting to rain, it's starting to distract us from the learning. We're not avoiding the rain, we're just trying to get a clear answer from the Shaila, and that's why they entered in. So that's the Heter. So Amarle, Rav Acha Barei de Rava, the Rav Ashi, I Itzerech Leila Inish Lemikre Gavra, Mibe Knish to Mai. You need to call someone out. There's a base magician, you want to go call someone out to tell him something. Are you allowed to go in the base magic just to get him? You're not going to learn, you're going just to get the guy to call him out. Is that permitted? So he answers, Amar lei itzubra mirabanan hu leima hilchasa. If he's a Talmud Chacham, so let him sit down for a few moments, say halacha. Emaf tir nachar pesach afikomen is the typical Mishnah one would say. That's halacha. Vitanahu, if he knows Mishnah as well, leima masnisan, he should say Mishnah. Vikarahu, if he's a balkare, leima psuka, let him say a pasuk. If he lo, if he's really an amhar, doesn't know any Mishnah, halacha, or pasuk, so then leima leila yanuka, go over to a child who knows Tanakh by heart. And Emali Psukech, and say a pasuk for me. And through that, or Inami Nishe Purta Vinikim, or if you can't find such a Talmud, such a Tinok, just go inside shul, sit for a few moments, and then you could call your friend out, and then go outside. But you should never go inside a base medrash just for the purpose of getting someone. You should pause for a few moments, and learn something, or just sit down for a couple of seconds. Sometimes you see people doing both. They confuse the two. Sometimes people will come and say a Mishnah. They'll sit down to say a Mishnah. You don't have to sit down to say a Mishnah. If you're saying a Mishnah, you could stand up and say a Mishnah. If you're not saying a Mishnah, then you could sit down. But you don't have to sit down to say a Mishnah. They're two different inyanim. And oftentimes I see people do that. But you see from here, you don't need to do both of them. So Gemara now says, Maspidin behen hespeit sharabim. So when you make a eulogy for a large people, which we said, trying to accommodate a number of people who are coming to a Talmud Chacham's hespeit, so you're allowed to make that in the shul. So asks the Gemara, Hei chidami hespeit the rabbin. What's an example of a eulogy of the rabbin? So the Gemara says as follows, that Machai Rav Chista, Rav Chista appointed and he said, Machai Rav Chista, kigon hespeit the kai bei Rav Sheshes. A hespeit of Rav Sheshes if he dies. So Rav Sheshes wasn't very happy with that. So he says, Machai Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes, no, kigon hespeit the kai bei Rav Chista. When you die, you're hespeit. Okay, so they had this either way. If either one, when either one died, that's considered a hesped derabim. So Raphram asafte lekalase bebe knishta. So Raphram's daughter-in-law had passed away, and he had allowed the hesped of the levi to take place in the shul. He says as follows: Mishum yakar didi udemesa also kuli ama. I know because of my daughter-in-law and because of the daughter-in-law herself, both of us, between the two of us, it's going to attract a lot of people. So that's why there was a heter of it being in shul. So it's not about how chash of a person is. It's about practically, will you have the space or will you not have the space? Now, normally, the more chash of you are, the more people are typically going to come, but it's not necessarily that way. So then the Gemara says, Asa Kulia, Rabbi Zera, Saftala Ahu Merabanan Mibe Knishta. He had eulogized for a certain Talmud Chacham in the Shul. And Amar, he says, Imishim Yukara Didi, Imishim Yukara Dide de Mesa. Either Asi Kulama, either because of my honor, says Rabbi Zera, I guess since he was eulogizing, people might come for him, or for the honor of the mace, a lot of people are going to come. Then Reish Lakish Sapte Lahu Tzurba Mirabanan, he was eulogizing a certain Talmud Chacham, the Shchiach Ba'ara de Yisrael, one that was commonly found in Eretz Yisrael, the Havitani Hilchasa Be'esim V'Arba Shurasa. He had a very chashiv olam of Talmidim. When he would teach Mishnayos, he'd have 24 rows filled with Talmidim. And Amar, Voy, he said at the eulogy, at the Levaya, Voy Chasra Ara de Yisrael Gavir Abba. Woe to Eretz Yisrael that we lost in Adam Gadol. There's the person who was teaching Hilchas Halachos and Sifra and Sifri, which is different Midrashim on Vayikra. Sifra is on Vayikra. It's one Sefer in Vayikra. It's also called Toras Kohanim. Sifre is referring to on Mabinbar Dvarim together. Tosefta, and he learned all these in Yom. He taught in all these topics. And Ushachav, he died. So Asav Amri Lay, they came and told Rav Nachman, Lisapte Mar, maybe Rav Nachman should eulogize this individual. He's a big Talmud Chacham. So Amar, so he says, Heichen Nispidei, how exactly should I be maspid such an individual? Hey Tsana Demali Sifrei De Chaser. He's a basket that's full of many svarim. And just like a basket, you don't understand what's inside of it. So to this person, he learned, but he didn't understand what he learned. And therefore, since Rashi goes on to explain it, since he wasn't Meshamash Talmud Chacham, even though he learned a lot, it wasn't really much to it, which is a pretty harsh statement after the guy dies. But that's what Rav Nachman said. So it seemed like he didn't give the hesped. So the Gemara says, Tachazeh, that Ma Beint Kifei Dara D'Yisrael L'Chasidei Bavel. Let's see the difference between the Talmidei Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael versus the Chasidim of Bavel, that Reish Lakish was living in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Nachman was in Chasidei Bavel, so Reish Lakish was willing to be maspid at Talmud Chacham, and Rav Nachman was not willing to be maspid that Talmud Chacham, a different Talmud Chacham. Now we see throughout Shas that Rav Nachman was a very, very sharp, strong individual. Rav Nachman was the son-in-law of the Reish Kalusa. He had a lot of power, and he was oftentimes very, very forceful. So this seems to be just another example of how he was not willing, even after the guy died, he was not willing to say any eulogy about him. Yeah.
Reish Lakish, that Talmud Chacham, he came to Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't from Eretz Yisrael. Seems like he wasn't from Eretz Yisrael. He was a maspid anymore.
Uh-huh. It's either, but you see, the point is not who the mace was. The point was the ones being maspid, those Reish Lakish who lived in Eretz Yisrael, they were much more relaxed. They were easygoing. We have a number of Gemaras that talk about how the Gemara in Ari Pesachim talks about there are three groups that hate each other. And the Gemara says that the Kazdim hate each other. I'm forgetting one of them. It could be Klavim, Tarnagolim, it could be even Zonos. But one of the Gemara says is the Tamidei Chachamim beBavel. They hate each other. They hate each other. They didn't get along with each other. And that's the way they were in Bavel. There was a lot of aggression there. As opposed to in Eretz Yisrael, they got along very much with each other. Warren Sanhedrin, third parakosa, talks about this. How Rabbi Meir, who was from Eretz Yisrael, although they'd fight a lot in learning, afterwards they would all make up. And Reish Lakish also, I think, is mentioned in the Gemara there in Sanhedrin. When it comes to in Bavel, they wouldn't get along with each other. So that's, again, that was the general overall nature of the personalities in Bavel. And the Gemara now says, Tanan Hasan, the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Dishtamesh Bitaga Chalaf. A person who is Dishtamesh, a person who uses or abuses the Taga, which is a crown, referring to the Keser Shator. If you use a Talmud Chacham for something, Chalaf, Rashi says, Avar Mina Olam. For you using a Talmud Chacham and being Mevazim, the person gets Misa. Satani. Reish Lakish comments on this Mishnah, Zeh HaMishtamish B'misha Shona Halachos Kisa Shatara. This is referring to a person who uses a Rebbe who teaches Halachos, teaches Mishnayos. Vamar Ula says, L'shtamish Inish D'miman D'tani Arba, V'lo L'shtamish B'man D'masne Arba. You can use the service of a Talmid Chacham who learns for Siddharma of Mishnah, but don't use the service of one who teaches. The one who the teacher is a higher level than one who just learns it. One time, Reish Lakish have a azul beorcha. He was once walking along the way, Reish Lakish, and mata or kama demai. He got to some body of water, and also hahu gavra. A certain person came, arkave akasve, and placed Reish Lakish on his shoulders to carry him through the water. Become avrele, he was crossing through their water, so Reish Lakish wouldn't have to get wet. Amrele, so Reish Lakish says to him, Karisa, did you have you read Pesukim? Are you familiar with the books of the Torah and the Pesukim? So Amrele, yeah, Krina, yeah, I know the Pesukim. So then he says, Tanisa, did you learn Mishnah? I was like, yeah, Tanina, Arba, Sidri, Mishnah. I learned four Siddharm. And by the way, it's very common that you find throughout Shas that four Siddharm were learned as opposed to six. We saw just above, it said four Siddharm. And I think I mentioned this in the past. I definitely have. I don't remember which series of Shir. I don't know if it was Megillah or some other Shir. But there's a Rashi in Bamatzi that talks about that the four Siddharm that are learned are four Siddharm that are Halach Lamaisa, that in the Bavli, we have four Siddharm of Gemara only. We have Moed, Nizik, and Nashim, and Kadshim. Those four, and Kadshim are relevant because the Bavli holds that when a person learns Kadshim, it's Kilu, you're being Makriv the Kadshim. So those are four relevant Gemaras. We only have those four, but we don't have Zerayim, and we don't have Taros. And Yishalmi has four different Siddharm. They have Zerayim, because that's Shaykh and Eretz Yisrael. They have Moed, they have Nashim, Nizikim. They have four as well. They don't have Kachim because the Yushalmis didn't think learning Kachim is as if you're bringing the Kachim. But either way, they're always four Siddharm that you learn. And the Gemara Chagiga says that their angels have six wings and they have four wings. The Gemara says, well, which is which? Do they have six or do they have four? And the Gemara says, one's Bizman Shah Bisham Migdish Kaim, one's when the Bisham Migdish Eino Kaim. So the explain is that Bizman, the Gra explains, I think, that Bizman Shah Bisham Migdish Kaim, they have six wings. That refers to the six Sidrei Mishnah, which are all relevant, Bizman and Mikdash, but when the base of Mikdash is Lokayim, so there are only four Siddharm that are relevant. That's the four wings of the Malachim, depending if it's Yushalmi or Bavli, which of those four are. But that's why oftentimes they talk about four Siddharm after the destruction of the base of Mikdash. So anyways, back to the story, Reish Lakish says to this individual who's holding him, Tanisa, did you learn Mishnah? He says, yeah, Tanina Arba Sidrei Mishnah, I learned four Siddharm. So Amar Lei said, Psalta Lecha, Arba Turei, V'tanas bar lakish akavtechei. So he says, now you're disqualified. You're four mountains. You're four Siddhei Mishnah that you're learning, and now you've taken a Reish Lakish on your shoulders. So Shadi by the Karsha B'meya, throw Reish Lakish into the water. So Amar Lei, so he says to Reish Lakish, says Nichali, it's good for me. De'ashmein lamar, it's good for me to service Reish Lakish. I'd like to do this. Ihach, if that's the case. Gemur mine hamilsa. So learn from me the following. Dama Rabbi Zera. Benos Yisrael, heinech mira ahatzman. The Jewish girls have taken upon themselves a chumra. Shafilu roos tipas dam. Kechardel yoshros alav shivanakim. Even if they see dam, either the size of a chardel, which is very small, or perhaps the color of a chardel, they took upon themselves to be a din of anida and wait shivanakim. This is the conversation. We'll finish off with this now. The Gemara says the last few lines. Tana de Be'el Yahu. He teaches us that Kol Hashona Halachos Muftach Lo Shehu Ben Olm Haba. A person who learned Halacha, he's guaranteed entry into Olm Haba. Shenemar Halichos Olam Lo. Al Tikri Halichos Ela Halachos. That learning Halachos every single day B'chol Yom brings a person to Olam Haba. Okay, we'll stop here, and Mir Hashem will learn tomorrow 9:00.